for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from Zexant Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2021 Lake Hamilton Bible Camp May virtual Zoom meeting. Deborah Vales is hosting this meeting with Lake Hamilton Bible Camp's director, Merrill Miller. This is Saturday morning, May the 22nd, 2021. Jean and Kerna Williams are the speakers of the morning. Jean Williams is teaching first. Her subject is The Characteristics of an Eagle Christian. Next is Kerna Williams. His subject is Understanding Dreams and Visions.
We welcome you. I hope you enjoyed the service last night and everybody had a good night's sleep. Ready for this morning's service. I know we have Sister Jean is going to teach us this morning. I know she comes with great things. Lord, I just thank you for the people that you send us. We don't look at numbers, Lord, but we look at those who you have called to be here this day. Those you have called, Lord, who have answered your call. And I know that you have great things for them, Lord. So bless us, Lord, with your presence. Bless us, Lord, with your Holy Spirit. Bless us, Lord, with your angels that encamp around us, that nothing from any darkness can interfere with our services today, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you. Amen. Okay. Sister Deborah?
Yes, sir.
You can go ahead.
Amen. Amen. God bless. Yes. Thanks again to the Holy Spirit. I give honor to, I glorify. It's him that is, I'm here today, and I just thank him for each and every one that is here, including Meryl and Patty and Kevin and all of you. Deborah, I love you guys, and thanks again for having me to speak to you this morning. But before I go into my message, I just want to pray. Heavenly Father, I bow in worship and praise before you.
Yes.
I cover myself with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ as my protection. Surrender myself completely and unreservedly in every area of my life to you, Lord. I take a stand against all the workings of Satan that will hinder me from teaching your word today. I take authority over every foul demon spirit that has been assigned to this teaching this morning to be expelled now in Jesus' name. I ask that the Holy Spirit to loose angelic angels to surround me and surround us and protect us in Jesus' holy name. Now, Father, you said in John, the 30th chapter, verse 3, I must decrease so you can increase. I step aside this morning for you to have your way, however you want to do it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So let's go ahead and get started. My title this morning is The Characteristics of an Eagle Christian. The Characteristics of an Eagle Christian. So I began to look up the word characteristics, and it says, a feature or quality belonging typically to a person, place, or thing serving to identify it. So as I began to study this, the Lord began to show me a lot of things. This teaching on the eagle is a broad teaching, but God gave me some things that I believe that he wants me to share with you this morning that will help us along the way and to identify who we really are. For decades, the eagle has been recognized by many nations as the king of birds. The eagle today is the international sign of freedom, strength, and authority, majestic, and stamina. The eagle, more than any other bird, portrays God. His strength, his beauty, his sovereignty, His majesty, His fearlessness, His courage, His wisdom, His power, His honesty, His truth, and most of all, in His freedom. God likens Himself and His children to an eagle. So you would say, well, how do you say that? So as we turn to Exodus, the 19th chapter, verse 4, and I'm coming out of the King James Version on this, and it says, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I brought you on eagle wings and brought you to myself. So as we can see in this scripture, God is revealing some characteristics of His nature towards eagle. So as we continue to, in this teaching, we will discover some things about ourselves and how God and His word compare Himself to the eagle. In Genesis, the first chapter, verse 27, says, so God created man in His own image. If we created in His image, then it is safe to say we have eagle attributes. God speaks of men as having the same qualities as the eagle. As we go further in this teaching, we will see the nature of the eagle and understand how we are compared to the eagle. So let's begin to talk about some characteristics of the eagle. The first one I discovered was the golden eagle. The golden eagle. When the scriptures refer to the eagle, it is referring to the golden eagle or the imperial eagle. Gold has been a symbol of divinity for hundreds of years, and golden implies divinity to the eagle. It also implies to the eagle Christian that we have a divine nature. The Bible says in 2 Peter, the first chapter, verse 4 in the Amplified Bible, by means of these, He has bestowed, given upon us His precious and exceedingly great promises, so that through Him you may escape by flight from the moral decay, the rottenness and corruption that is in the world because of covetousness, lust, and greed, and become sharers, partakers of the divine nature. So here we can see that we are partakers of the divine nature. And I looked up the word imperial. It means having supreme authority. Having supreme authority. The eagle's strength and speed gives him dominion over all other birds and the authority to rule over the heavens. As Christians, we have also been given the authority to rule the earth. So the Bible says in Revelation, the first chapter, verse 6. That's Revelation, the first chapter, verse 6 in the Amplified Bible. And form us into a kingdom, a royal priest, a royal race, priest to His God and Father. To Him be the glory and the power and the majesty and dominion throughout the ages and forever and ever. So just as the eagle rings over the heaven, so the Christians walking in the God-given power and authority to reign over the earth. He has given us this. And as we look in Romans, the 5th chapter, verse 17, in the Amplified Bible, that's Romans, the 5th chapter, verse 17, in the Amplified, it says, for if because of one man's trespass, lapse, offense, death reign through that one, much more surely will those he receive God's overflowing grace, unmerited favor, and the free gift of righteousness, putting them into right standing with Himself, being as kings in life through the one man, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. So when I looked up the word reigns, it says, hold royal office, rule as kings and queens. So we are ruling as kings and queens on the earth, and he has given us this God-given power, the authority, dominion to reign. Paul didn't say that you will reign in life when you exercise more effort, willpower, and discipline. That's not what he's saying. He said, he said, that when you simply receive the abundance of plenty for of grace and the gift of righteousness, you will reign in life when you receive the abundance, plentiful of grace and gift of righteousness. Then you will reign in life. If you have made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, you have received this abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness that Romans, the fifth chapter, verse 17, is talking about. The second characteristic I want to talk about is the eagle strength. The eagle strength. The eagle strength comes from the choice of diet it chooses. It's an old saying, you are what you eat. The eagle picks his diet. He consists of fish, squirrel, and lamb. The eagle does not rely on what he finds. He finds what he wants. The eagle's not like the birds, willing to eat whatever they find. They are very particular and have a plan once they have consumed their dinner. So if we are what we eat and our strength lies in our diet, then what are we to eat? A poor spiritual diet means poor spiritual health. In terms, it affects our spiritual tolerance from day-to-day battles. So what we put in our spirit affects the way we are, the way we live, our health. We must learn to discern the spiritual and nutritional value of everything we allow to enter into our spirit man. We must take notice of the ego only desiring living food. And for us as Christians, the living food is Jesus Christ, the word of God that keeps us, that strengthens us from day to day. The Bible says in Hebrews, the fourth chapter, verse 12 in the Amplified Bible, for the word that God speaks is alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. It is sharper than a two-edged sword, penetrating to the dividing line of the breath of life, soul, and the immortal spirit, and of the joints and the marrow of the deepest part of our nature, exposing and sifting and analyzing and judging the very thoughts and purpose of the heart. So what is this saying? The word is alive and full of power. This should be the main course of every eager Christian. Our spiritual man draws strength from God's word. Without his word, the eager Christian exposes himself to many dangers. Spiritual weakness is the direct result of a poor diet. You're not reading. You're not studying. You're not spending time with God. That's a poor diet because you're not eating. You're not partaking from the divine word. No. A weak ego Christian will not be able to discern the truth, nor will you be able to contend with the enemy. The Bible says in Proverbs, the fourth chapter, verse 20 through 22. That's Proverbs, the fourth chapter, verse 4, verse 20 through 22. My son, attend to my words, consent and submit to my sayings. Let them not depart from your sight. Keep them in the center of your heart. For they are life to those who find them, and healing and health to all the flesh. That's the word of God. So you mean to tell me by me spending time with the Lord, reading his word, is going to be health and healing to my flesh? That's what the word said. He said, attend to my word. What does attend mean? Study, take time, learn, feed your spirit from day to day. Don't let a day go by because you need this nourishment. You need that. This is life to your spirit, to your soul. So let's go to the third eagle. Christian characteristic of the third eagle. It's the eagle enemy. The eagle enemy. The ego has only one primary enemy which poses any threat. It is the same enemy of the spiritual man, and that is the serpent, that old devil, Satan. from the beginning of time, the fall of Adam, God put an incentive hatred between man and the serpent. The Bible says in Genesis, the third chapter, verse 15, that's Genesis, the third chapter, verse 15, and I will put enmity, hostility, antipathy, antagonism, animosity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. There have been problems with Satan for years, for many, many years, decades, the serpent. So when the eagle sees the serpent approaching, he attacks first. As Christians, we stand around pointing our fingers, wondering what should we do when the enemy attacks? Who should we call? What should I do when you should already be armed and ready to go battle? When you are engaging in spiritual warfare, the time is now to take your position in authority and begin to do battle. There is no time for contemplating with the enemy. As Christian, you are more than a conqueror.
That's right.
He has given us that authority. He has given us dominion over the earth. There is two things that an eagle learned to deal with are the thorn and the serpent. The eagle handles both in two different ways. They embrace the thorn in life, but they fight the serpent. As Christians, we need to learn how to embrace the storms when they come. We need to learn how to ride the storms when they come. And when the enemy comes, we need to learn how to fight. We need to understand the difference between the storm and the enemy. Because some of us have gotten mistaken of we're fighting the enemy or we're fighting the storm. When we begin to learn which one we are fighting with, then we'll know how to deal with it. The Bible says in Romans, the 8th chapter, verse 37 in the Amplified Bible. That's Romans, the 8th chapter, verse 37. Yet, amid all these things, we are more than our conquerors and given a surpassing victory through him who loves us. So when the enemy attack us, whether it's through friends, whether it's through relatives, through our finances, through our job, through sickness, persecution, even ministry, negative thoughts. We need to destroy the spiritual enemy, the serpent, the devil. That is behind these activities. Because a lot of the things that is happening in our life, we're blaming it on different things. But we need to see who is behind this. What is taking place? What is happening? You need to understand the storm and the enemy. Because when the storm comes, we need to understand, do God want us to ride this storm? Do God want us to wade through this storm? Do he want us to wait through this storm? What do he want us to do? But when the enemy comes, then we need to take our authority and fight the enemy. The Bible says in Luke, the 10th chapter, verse 19. That's Luke, the 10th chapter, verse 19. Behold, I have given you authority and power to trample upon serpents and scorpions, and physical and mental strength and ability over all the power that the enemy possesses, and nothing shall any way harm you. So this verse says, he has given you the authority, he has given you the power to trample upon the serpent. So I say to you today, what is the problem? He has given us the word. So are we not taking the word and applying it, or is it that we don't believe it? Because we have to believe it. We got to believe what the word of God says. When we believe the word of God, when the word penetrates our spirit, then we can operate, we can go, and we can fight the enemy because we believe it, we trust it, this word says, so therefore I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The Bible says in Habakkuk, however you want to pronounce it, it's the third chapter, verse 19, in the Amplified. That's Habakkuk, third chapter, verse 19 in the Amplified. The Lord God is my strength, my personal bravery, and my invincible army. He makes my feet like hinds' feet and will make me to walk, not to stand still in terror, but to walk and make spiritual progress upon my high places of trouble, suffering, and responsibility. So he makes your feet like hinds' feet. You can walk through this. So he has given it to you. You can walk through it. The word is our guide. The word is our instruction. And we apply, then we can understand how to deal with the enemy. So if the word of God says that he will make my feet like hind feet, and he will cause me not to stand still in terror, but he will cause me to walk in, then I must believe that.
Mm-hmm.
The word says. Let's go to the fourth characteristic. It's called the lonely eagle. The lonely eagle. The eagle flies alone or in pairs, but only with other eagles. They must, without exception, pursue what is instinctively in their hearts. While the other birds sit and chatter among themselves, the eagle masters the wind, utilizing currents and the altitudes to direct them in the right path. As a Christian, we should not submit ourselves to the nature of others who spend all their time chasing after things of the world and never learn the ways of the wind, which is the Holy Spirit. And some of us, we are holding on to things that God wants us to release. We don't release it. You need to go to the throne of grace and ask God to release those people. Because some of those people that's in your path is not going to be able to go where God has taken you. And you are allowing these people to stay there to hinder your walk in Jesus. And as we begin to study the bird and see that the birds only fly with the eagles, then we got to learn how to fly with the eagles. Because we can't begin to have the little birds hanging around when God is soaring us higher into the things of him. So as I studied this, the eagle, I mean, it was just so awesome when I was studying. I was like, my God, I need to repent from some things because this is where you're taking me. This is how you want me to carry myself. This is how you want me to flow. This is how you want me to move. This is how you want me to carry myself and things. So if we begin to look at this, we can see that God's characteristic in the eagle is awesome. And he has given us those same characteristics, but it's up to us to partake from it. To walk with God, the eager Christian must pursue solitude, not as an escape, but rather to be alone with God and learn the spirit of God. So to escape with him means to be alone with him, to trust him for direction, which solitude to go, what current to go, what way to ride. Just trust in him because he will lead you and he will guide you through these things. Leaving those things which lie behind in order to soar high to your destiny. The Bible said in Philippians, the third chapter, verse 13 through 14, that Philippians, the third chapter, verse 13 through 14. I do not consider, brethren, that I have captured and made it my own yet. But one thing I do, it is my own aspiration, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the supreme and heavenly prize to which God in Christ Jesus is calling us upward. So we press toward the high calling, which is Jesus Christ. So in order to be caught up in the spirit into the heavenlies, in order to accomplish healing, in order to raise the dead, in order to do high-level spiritual warfare, in order to obtain God's sanity, you have to leave being ordinary behind. Leaving those things as ordinary behind. Everybody's not going to look like you. They're not going where you go. You can't be like the world. You got to be the way Jesus wants you to be. Eagle flies with freedom, knowing which way they should go. When eagles are placed in captivity, their entire personality changes. When eagles are placed in captivity, their entire personality changes. Why? Because there are birds that are free to fly. So when you capture them in captivity, they're not able to move the way they're supposed to move. So this is what happened to the eagle when he are in captivity. He began to lose his aggression. He don't even clean himself anymore. He become lazy, passive, depressed. And they begin to eat dead, rotten meat when normally they only eat fresh meat. They come out of their character because they've been in captivity. They captive. They can't be free to be who they are. So eager Christians, we also don't operate well in captivity. So since this pandemic and all these things been going on, we have, some of us have been in captivity and we have lost our way. We don't know where to go anymore. Our freedom has been lost. We have to be free. We can go, we can travel, we can do what we want because we've been in captivity for so long because the world has dictated to how we live and what we should do, wherever we go and all these different things. So it has weakened us to a place where we are not able to be free again.
My God.
We've been held down, held back.
And held back. That's absolutely right, Mel.
Yeah.
So most Christians are in captivity, captive by what other people think. But let me go back. I missed a section that I need to go right back to. Okay. Eager Christians don't operate well in captivity, such as when they are boxed in, controlled, or manipulated, or stuck in a religious environment.
Yeah.
Most Christians are in captivity, captive by what other people think about what others are doing. They are people pleasers, not God pleasers, only following what people and man want them to do. Some Christians are captive to what other people expect out of them. They live under the denomination of a man pleaser, a man pleaser. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonica, the 2nd chapter, verse 4, that's 1 Thessalonica, the 2nd chapter, verse 4. And it says, "But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak not as pleasing men, but God, which tries our heart." So what is the scripture saying? The scripture is saying that we don't need to just be men pleasers, but we need to be pleasing God.
Yeah.
The Bible says in Galatians, the 5th chapter, verse 1. That's Galatians, the 5th chapter, verse 1. It says, "In this freedom, Christ made us free and completely liberated us. Stand fast then and do not be hampered to a yoke of slavery which you once put off." So is it safe to say that we have been in a yoke of slavery through this pandemic in captivity, but we don't feel free anymore? We're not able to be free like we once before. Well, see, have you forgotten that you are free now? You no longer have to be yoked to slavery. So we ought to be free from legalism, from religion, and from man-made doctrines. The scripture said Christ had completely liberated us. So you don't have to be yoked to enslavement. Then we can truly walk in our destiny. The next one. And I think this is the last one. The next characteristic of the eagle is the eagle eye. The eagle eye.
Yeah.
The eagle eyes develop when they first hatch or in their young stage. The eagle pectens, which is P-E-C-T-E-N-S, is a cone-like structure of blood vessels belonging to the choroid, the C-H-O-R-O-I-D, in the eye of a bird. And they adjust themselves to the lens of the magnetic intensity from the North Pole and begin to develop as they get older. The eagle has an infallible sense of direction because God has equipped them with a built-in gyroscope. So what is a gyroscope? It's to measure the changes in speed and the momentum. The eagle can fly thousands of miles away and can find their way back home. The eager Christian, like the young eagles, unable to focus on things clearly. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 13, chapter verse 12, that's 1 Corinthians 13, chapter verse 12, he said, "We see through a glass dimly."
That's right.
I looked up the word dimly. It says, "with a faint light, not brightly." It's dim. You can't see. However, his sense of sight will improve as he matures. We're talking about the eagle, and we're also talking about the Christian. As you mature, your sight should improve as you mature. In the same way that God has placed this mysterious force in the eagle's life that caused him to seek his home ground, God has placed the desire in man to seek a place of rest in him. Like the eagle's pectens set on an unmovable north pole, the eagle Christian eyes are set on an immovable God. And at any time, man can find his way to God. So the word says in Proverbs the 14th chapter, verse 26. That's the Proverbs the 14th chapter, verse 26. In the reverent and worship fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence. And his children shall always have a place of refuge. So you always have a place of refuge from Jesus Christ. You can find your way back home. So I say to those that's out there have lost their way, it's time for you to find your way back home. And that way is Jesus Christ. And he said that there in Proverbs 14, chapter verse 26, that he's a place of refuge. And he's there. And he's there all the time. So you can come anytime, sons and daughters, and find your way back to Jesus Christ. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians, the 16th chapter, verse 9, that 2 Chronicles, quote, 2 Chronicles, the 16th chapter, verse 9. 2 Chronicles, the 16th chapter, verse 9. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth.
That's right.
Himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is blameless toward him. His eyes go to and fro along the earth. He sees everything. He's there. He's waiting. His heart is blameless towards you. The eagle sits on the rock and waits for the firmer current of the wind, which is the Holy Spirit. They wait. They wait. They wait. And then they soar up high in the sky when the wind comes to them. Many of you never reach your full potential of destiny with God because you don't have the patience to wait. You don't get the revelation of what Jesus Christ can do in your life. You get ahead of God and refuse to wait. You begin to say, well, if God did it for them, he can do it for me. If he gave them one, I can do it too. But he will always have a soft and easy life. Nor will we on this earth, But just as eagles illustrate, God is calling us to wait on him and learn to soar higher above the cares, the trials, and pursuit of life. The Bible says in Isaiah, the 40th chapter, verse 31. Those who wait on the Lord, who expect, look for, and hope in him shall change and renew their strength and power. They shall lift their wings and mount up close to God, run and not be weary, walk and not faint or become tired. For us, this is more than a promise of strength and renewal. It is a testament to the compassion and love of our Heavenly Father. He also said in Psalms, this is the last scripture, in Psalms, the 103rd Psalm, verses 1 through 5, that Psalms, the 103rd verse, the 103rd chapter, verse 1 through 5, bless affectionately, gratefully praise the Lord. Oh, my soul and all that is deepest within me, his holy name.
Yeah.
Affectionately, gratefully, praise the Lord, oh, my soul, and forget not one of all his benefits, who forgives every one of all your iniquities, who heals each one of us of all your diseases, who redeems your life from and corruption, who beautifies, dignifies, and crowns you with love and kindness and tender mercy, who satisfy your mouth, your necessity, and desire at your personal age and situation with good, so that your youth renewed is like the eagles strong overcoming the sore. Yeah. So what God is saying to you, that he want to raise you up on eagle wings and allow you to soar through the diversities, through the trials, through the tribulations, the pain, the sorrow. He's here. He's waiting. All you have to do is reach out for him. He is mighty. He is the mighty God who knows our names.
Yes, he does.
He will never abandon or forsake us. Word. He'll never leave us or forsake us.
That's right.
I'm getting ready to turn it over to my husband and complete my teaching. So I want to say to you, it's time to rise up as eagles.
Yes.
Time to quit running with the birds. I don't want to call nobody no buzzer because nobody a buzzard. But it's time for us to fly with the eagles. It's time for us to fly high. Those that have been hanging on to us that we don't want to let go, you're going to have to let them go.
Yeah.
You have to move forward because God is taking you to a place that you need to go.
Yeah.
So I say to you, God bless you. I love you. And I'm getting ready to go over to Kerner. He's getting ready to do his section. And I see you tonight. God bless.
Okay. God bless.
That's good.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right. Here we go. That's a blessing. Okay. When my wife was speaking, the first thing that I thought about, we used to live in Fayetteville, Georgia, and I would always see an eagle in the backyard. And what it brought to my mind was that eagles only flew with eagles. Eagles only connected with kindred spirits. I never saw an eagle with a buzzard. I never saw an eagle with a crow or a goony bird. I always saw an eagle flying with another eagle. And I think that's some revelation to the body of Christ. It's time that we be kindred spirits. It's time that we take the prophetic from the eagle. Amen. Give Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Before we get started, we want to first acknowledge Jesus Christ. Out of the book of Colossians chapter 1 verse 18, that's the book of Colossians chapter 1 verse 18, the Bible says in the Amplified Bible, he is also the head of his body, the church, seeing he is the beginning, the firstborn from among the dead, so that he alone in everything and in every respect might occupy the chief place, stand first, and be preeminent. So we recognize Jesus Christ as Lord, and we just want to give him all the honor and give him all the praise in his holy, mighty name. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Let's get started. In the book of Amos, chapter 3, verse 7, that's the book of Amos, chapter 3, verse 7, the Bible says, surely the Lord will do nothing without revealing his secrets to his prophets, to his servants, and to his prophetic people.
Yeah.
Now, many of you, you're not operating in the fivefold ministry as a prophet, then you're also moving in the prophetic. Okay? But God says he is a God of secrets, and he will do nothing unless he first do what? Warn the prophets. I had a dream on May 20th of this month, and I want to share two dreams and a prophetic word before we get into the subject message.
Okay, Apostle Kerner, please unmute yourself.
There we go. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Okay. On May 20th of this month, I had a dream. In the dream, I dreamed of a woman in a church. The woman and I was having a godly conversation. All of a sudden, as I watched this woman, her face became contorted and demonized. Then all of a sudden, the woman walked behind me. She pushed me down, or should I say, knocked me down to the floor. And when she knocked me down to the floor, she stuck a vaccination needle in my shoulder, or she gave me an intravenous injection. When she did that, I looked up at her and I saw the demonization in her face. That dream reveals several things to me. The woman represents the church. Knocking me down to the floor means forced vaccination or mandatory vaccination. Now, I believe that God is a revealer of secrets. This morning, I read an article that the church in Oregon is seeking to have vaccination papers before you can enter the church to worship God. The state of Oregon is headed that way. that you will be vaccinated, you must reveal in vaccination papers or injection papers before you can come into the house of the Lord. I love the word of God in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, that the gates of hell shall not prevail. And we can see every day that the enemy is trying to do what? He's trying to silence the church. He's trying to silence the body of Christ. But the word of God says he will not silence the body of Christ because the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Another area that I want to share is we are now in the Hebrew month of Sivan, S-I-V-A-N, Sivan. And Sivan runs from May 12th to June 10th, May 12th to June 20th. Now, let me share something with you about Sivan. It's going to be very prophetic. Turn to the book of Esther, chapter 8. The book of Esther, chapter 8 in the Old Testament. Let's read verse 9, and I'm reading from the Amplified Bible. The book of Esther, chapter 8, and I'm reading verse 9. In verse 9, the Bible says, then the king's scribes were called in the third month. Now, take a look at that third month. The month of Sivan is the third month on the Hebraic calendar. Once again, the month of Sivan is the third month on the Hebrew calendar. Now, notice the third month in the time of Esther. It says, then the king's tribes were called in the third month. The Amplified says, the month of Sivan. On the 23rd day, and it was written according to all that Mordecai commanded to the Jews, to the chief rulers and governors and princes of the provinces from India to Ethiopia. 127 provinces to every province, in its own script and to every people in their own language and to the Jews according to their writing and according to their language. Now, what was the decree? Let's look at verse 11. Look at verse 11 real closely in the Amplified. It said, and the king granted the Jews who were in every city to gather and defend their lives. Defend their lives to destroy, to slay, and to wipe out any armed force that might attack them or attack the Jewish people, their little ones and women, and to take the enemy's goods for spoils. Notice that decree in the month of Sivan. What are we seeing in Tel Aviv right now? What are we seeing in Israel right now? In the month of Sivan, we are seeing the same prophetic parallel. That's why it's so good to get an understanding of the Hebraic calendar, because it's very prophetic. We are seeing right now that Israel was attacked. Now Israel is defending themselves. Mm-hmm. It is safe for me to say, Psalms 122, to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. But it's also safe for me to say, pray for the Palestinians, who are the modern-day Philistines, that they may be saved. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I wanted to share that with you. Amen? The month of Sivan is a time of Israel defense, and we've seen the same prophetic parallel. Here we are in 2021. The next dream I wanted to share, this dream came April 18th. I dreamed of three glowing women, beautiful women. They came to me. And they had a conversation with me. They were in church. And these beautiful women said, we want you to teach on understanding dreams and visions. I said in the dream, you want me to do what? They said in the dream, we want you to teach on understanding and dreams and visions. What amazed me, the next day, Director Merrill called me and he asked me to minister on Zoom. Isn't that a blessing?
Amen.
Isn't that a blessing? How the eyes of the Lord run to and fro the whole earth. It is a blessing that God sees and God is fully aware of everything that we say and everything that we do.
Yes.
All right. We're going to use as a subject, understanding dreams and visions. And to many of you listening, we're in a time where we need to understand those gifts because they may save your life in the season that we're in. All right. Turn to the book of Joel, chapter 2. Let's look at verse 28 and 30. The book of Joel, chapter 2. Let's read verses 28 and 30. And I'm reading from the Amplified Bible. In verse 28, the Lord says, "And afterward I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh." I'm coming from the Amplified. "And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men, like myself, shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions." Now look at verse 29. "For even upon the men servants, upon the maid servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit." We are in a time of increased manifestations of dreams and visions. Now just write this in your notes. The book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 17. That's the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 17. All right? Once again, just take that just for your notes. The book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 17.
Yes.
Now, the Bible speaks of an end-time tsunami of dreams and visions. It speaks of that. Holy Spirit inspire dreams and visions. To bring direction, to bring warnings, to bring callings, to your commission, your calling. To identify encouragement. Just so many things that dreams and visions can do in hearing the voice of the Lord. Turn to Numbers chapter 12, please. Numbers chapter 12. Let's look at verse 6 of Numbers chapter 12. That's verse 6, Numbers chapter 12. "And he said, hear now my words, if there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known to him in what? In a dream or in a vision." Now, the Hebrew word, speak to him in a dream, it comes from the Hebrew word, dabar. Here's what dabar means. God will speak through dreams and visions. God will declare through dreams and visions. God will converse through dreams and visions. God will command through dreams and visions. God will promise. He will warn. God, and God will threaten through dreams and visions. And here's something that caught me by surprise. God will sing, S-I-N-G, sing through dreams and visions. And I began to laugh within myself. I would love to hear God sing. I wonder if God sings like this. Hello. Makes me wonder. Because that Hebrew word says he sings. Is that right? Not only but God sings, he laughs at the wicked. Yes, many of you are familiar with that scripture.
Yes,
now, you don't have to be a prophet to have dreams and vision. You can be a prophetic man. You can be a prophetic woman to have dreams and visions. But listen, there is a tsunami of God's Holy Spirit, and God is beginning to speak more loudly through the prophetic gifts and through dreams and visions.
That's right.
Now, what is prophetic ministry? Prophets, prophetesses, prophetic believers, they have dreams and visions. Hearing God's voice is all part of prophetic ministry. You know, and people are so quick to say, well, you can't believe everything, but we will get to that. That is so true. We will get to that in a few moments. Okay? Now, the prophetic anointing. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Let's look at verse 26. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Let's look at verse 26. All right. I'm reading from the Amplified Bible. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Let's look at verse 26. Paul is talking to the church at Corinth. Now, look at verse 26. "What then, brethren, is the right course? When you meet together, each one has a hymn." In other words, when you come together as believers, when you assemble in the body of Christ, somebody has a hymn, somebody has a teaching, someone has a disclosure of special knowledge or information, or someone may have an utterance, or someone may speak in a strange tongue or an interpretation. Let everything be constructive and edifying for the revelation of the good of all. It is safe for me to say that in the body of Christ, somebody can have a revelation. Yeah. When we were pastoring in Florida, there was a time when I would ask the members of the congregation, is there anyone here that has a revelation? In other words, a dream or a vision. Is there anyone here that has a God-giving revelation, and we will permit them to release that revelation, and we will have prophetic people discern whether that revelation was of God or whether that revelation was of the devil. How many of you were touched by that?
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
So it is a blessing. Amen. Amen. It is a blessing to implement spiritual gifts into the church. All right. Now, the message of dreams and visions can come in many ways. Many of you already know that we think that the gifts of the Spirit only operate in the daytime. But the gifts of the Holy Spirit can operate at night while you're asleep.
Yeah.
Listen, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 talks about what? A word of knowledge, a supernatural knowing. The gift of discerning of spirits, the gift of wisdom, the gift of interpretation, and the gift of prophecy. All these gifts can manifest in your dreams. And I've heard many believers who say, well, they only operate in the daytime. No, they operate when you sleep also upon your bed.
That's right.
All right. Turn to 1 Kings chapter 3, the book of 1 Kings chapter 3. All right, here we are. 1 Kings chapter 3. Let's look at verse 5. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 5. God has always dealt with the patriots through dreams and visions to fulfill his purpose and destiny in the earth realm. Verse 5, in Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night.
Yeah.
And God said, ask what I shall give you. Now look at verse 6. Solomon said, you have shown to your servant David, my father, great mercy and loving kindness according as he's walked before you in faithfulness, righteousness, and uprightness of heart with you. You have kept for him this great kindness and steadfast love. Yeah. That you have given him a son to sit on his throne even in this day. Now, look at verse 7. O Lord my God, you have made your servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a lad in wisdom and experience. I know not how to go out or how to come in. Look at verse 8. Your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, a great people who cannot be counted for multitude. Look at verse 9. So give your servant an understanding mind. Solomon is talking to God in a dream. He's asking God to give your servant an understanding mind and a hearing heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and bad, for who is able to judge and rule this, your great people? Verse 10. So it pleased the Lord that Solomon asked this. Now here's a conversation in the dream. 11. God said to him, because you have not asked this and have not asked for the life or for riches, nor for the lives of your enemies, but have asked for yourself an understanding to recognize what is just and what is right. Look at verse 12. Behold, I have done as you have asked. I have given you a wise and discerning heart. He received gifts through a dream, that you may have a wise and discerning heart, so that no one before you was your equal, nor shall any rise after you will be equal to you. Verse 13, I have also given you what you have not asked, riches and honor through a dream. Riches and honor, tremendous wealth and abundance came through a dream. I have given you what you have not asked, riches and honor, so that there shall not be any of the kings equal to you all your days. Now look at verse 14 and 15. And if you will go my way and keep my statutes and my commandments as your father David, then I will lengthen your days, even give him longevity of life through a dream.
Yeah.
Now look at verse 15. And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. Solomon awoke, and behold, it was what? A dream. He came to Jerusalem, stood before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, offered a burnt offering, a peace offering, and made a feast for all his servants. Many times I hear believers say, I don't believe in dreams. Many times I hear believers that reject their dream because they don't understand dream and visions and revelation, and they don't understand the language of the dream. Solomon got rich, man. He's got abundance through his dreams and vision. He's gotten long life. Listen, He even got wisdom and discernment. He even got gifts through his dreams and vision. We're in a time where we need to learn to do what? Understand our dreams and visions. Now, both unbelievers and believers receive dreams. Yeah. Let me say that again. Both believers and unbelievers receive dreams. In Genesis chapter 20, verse 3. Now, please look closely at this. In Genesis chapter 20, verse 3, the Bible says, but God came to Abimelech, an unbeliever, a pagan king, Philistine. He came to him in a dream by night and said, behold, you are a dead man.
Yeah.
Because of the woman whom you have taken as your own, she is a man's wife. God told Abimelech wanted to sleep with Sarah. Abimelech wanted to sleep with Abraham's wife. Yeah. God told Abimelech in a dream, you touch that man's prophet's wife, and you are a dead man. My God.
Yeah.
I'm about to say, my God.
Yeah.
My God.
All right. Abimelech tried to sleep with Sarah, a prophet's wife. Now, let's look at Matthew chapter 27, verse 19. The book of St. Matthew, chapter 27, verse 19. I'd like to repeat myself so you can get the scripture. The book of St. Matthew, chapter 27, verse 19, Pilate's wife was an unbeliever.
Yeah.
The Bible says, also while he was seated on the judgment bench, his wife sent him a message saying, have nothing to do with that just and upright man, for I have had a painful experience today in a dream because of him.
Yeah.
She had a painful experience about who? Pilate. Is that right? God warned the wife in a dream. Be careful what you do with that upright man. So unbelievers can have dreams as well as believers. Now, there are three sources that dreams and visions can come from. There are three sources. But first of all, I want you to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let me bless you. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15. Is everybody okay?
Yeah.
All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15. I'm coming from the Amplified Bible. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15, but the spiritual man, the born-again man, tries all things. He examines. He investigates. He inquires into. He questions. And he discerns all things. When it comes to dreams and vision, we must do what? Try them, test them, examine them, investigate them, and discern them. Now look what the Bible says. Yet is himself to be put on trial and judged by no one. He can read the meaning of everything, but no one can properly discern or praise or get insight into him. My God.
Yeah.
Dreams and visions. We have to pray for the gift of discerning of spirits.
Yes.
Because dreams and visions must be tested. They must be examined. They must be discerned. And I'm going to tell you why a little later. Now, dreams and visions can come from God. Yes. Turn to St. Matthew chapter 1. St. Matthew chapter 1, please. Okay. St. Matthew chapter 1. To my Spanish-speaking brothers out there, por favor, which means please. St. Matthew chapter 1, let's look at verse 20, por favor. Okay, the Bible says in St. Matthew chapter 1, verse 20 of the Amplified, but as he was thinking this over, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. So here we see that there can be godly angelic visitations in your dreams and in your visions. And many of you in deliverance ministry know there can be demonic angelic visitations in your dreams and in your visions. Is that correct?
Yes.
So while as he was thinking on this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream saying, Joseph, descendant of David, Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from of out of what? The Holy Spirit. Through a dream, there was an angelic visitation from God. Through a dream, there was a divine instruction to marry someone. Is that right?
Yeah.
Now, first of all, let me say to the believers, because you get a dream about you with your friend, and you're supposed to marry your friend, and he's very abusive to you, you best be discerning whether that dream that you're having is from God or from the enemy.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay? So here in Matthew 1:20, holy angelic visitation, divine instruction to marriage, they were all godly inspired dreams. Now, look at St. Matthew chapter 1. Let's look at verse 21.
This is the end of part A. Please play part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.